Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And welcome everybody to this service as we praise and worship our Lord and our God and our Savior. Just very thankful to be here today. And I hope we all made it through the rains here around the Atlanta area, wherever you may be receiving this service today. I hope that you're doing all right. But I hope more than anything that your spirit, your soul, your heart would be uplifted by the word of God, by the grace of God. That's going to be our focus today, about the grace of God. I know it just moves me every time I hear about the grace of God, because I know what it's done in my life. I know what he's done in my life. I know how this, even the issue of God's grace, changed my family's life all the way around. And it's a wonderful thing to know and to believe and to live that we're not saved by our works, but by the grace of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Now, today I want to deal with a subject that's near and dear to us all. And I've got a lot to say, so I'm going to have to stay close in here. So y'all help me through. Pray for me. Pray for me. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that brought us out of slavery, brought us out of trying to work it ourselves and do it ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for us. And we ask for your inspiration, your correction, your direction. Oh, help us today in this word. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, over the last several weeks, I have been promising to give a sermon on why suffering. Because when you look around, there's a lot of suffering. You've got people who are dying of cancer. You've got people with birth defects, people who have been killed in violence. You've got a lot of trouble, a lot of things going on. And why do we have suffering? And one of the questions is often asked me, well, Pastor, if there is a God, if God exists, if God is all powerful, why do we have all this suffering? I won't be able to finish answering that question until next week. But today, we're going to make a start on it. You see, suffering, why suffering? And the answer may surprise you. Why suffering? That's the question. Suffering displays the glory of the grace of God. The grace of God and the glory of the grace of God is going to be high on our list today as we preach and as we hear. But the point I want you to go home with, to understand that suffering displays the glory of the grace of God. Suffering has a reason. Suffering has a purpose. And it helps us. And we'll get into this. It'll probably take me 2 or 3 weeks to finish this sermon. So bear with me. Your patience is much appreciated. But suffering displays the glory of the grace of God. Let me tell you what I've come to see. This is not just some theology or philosophy. I believe when I look at the world, when I look at the heavens, you know, the scripture says the heavens declare the glory of God. But I think the Lord speaks to us not only through what's in the heavens, but I believe that throughout the universe, I believe that the entire universe exists. The reason why it exists, the reason why you and I exist, this is why. It's to display the greatness of the glory of the grace of God. It's all about the glory. Now, we'll sing and praise, glory, hallelujah. But it's all about the glory of God. And that's what makes the difference. The glory of the grace of God. I might put it another way, simply this way, that the entire universe exists. Not only why we exist, but the entire universe, everything that is created exists to display the greatness of the glory of God. As I said, it's all about the glory. And everything exists to display the greatness of the glory of God. That when we see a mountain, we say, wow, God, I'm in awe of you. When we see a little newborn baby born, we say, wow, God. God, I didn't know you were all of that. You see, when we are filled with the glory of God, when we see who it is we worship, it changes everything. And that would be true. The Bible is very specific. It is true. The glory of God shines most, now get this, the glory of God shines most brightly, most fully, most beautifully in the manifestation of the glory of his grace. Glory and grace are connected. Therefore, this is the ultimate aim. This is God's ultimate plan. This is his plan. And the final explanation of why this and why that and all things. Why do all things exist? Including suffering. Including suffering. God decreed from all eternity. This is what I've come to see. You say, well, Pastor, I disagree with you. You're welcome to that. And we're fine to have questions and answers. But God decreed from all eternity to display the greatness of the glory of his grace. He wants us to be in awe of him. We might go bonkers because our favorite basketball player or football player made a touchdown or made the basket. And we'll get up, yeah, yeah, yeah. But do we get up and say, yes, Lord? Hallelujah. When we think it's something, okay, that's too religious. But is your heartbeat God in his glory? Are you in awe of him? And does he fuel you? Does he, when I say fuel, that you have energy and strength, but that's my God, that's my Lord. God decreed from all eternity to display the greatness of the glory of his grace. Not by your strength or mine or how many times we went to church. We go to church, that's great, but that's not how God looks at us. It's the glory of his grace that when we see him and we see his creation, the glory of his grace. Grace is something unmerited, unearned. Sometimes we want to say, I did that, I got that, and I got that, I did this or that and the other thing. That's your glory. We're talking about what really matters is the glory of his grace. Unmerited, unequaled. His are all in all. The glory of his grace. You say, oh, I went to church and I gave an offering and God's going to bless me. Really? Is that your grace? Is that the glory of God about how much money? And we should all give. That, no, no, don't misunderstand me. But that's not the basis upon God, which God deals with us. He deals with based upon his glory. And grace displays the glory of God more than anything. Because if it's what you've done, you can sit back, lay back, and say, look what I did, you can break it. No, it's about what God has done. And our faith in him, the glory of his grace, that's why everything exists. For the enjoyment of his creatures. He wants us to enjoy him and enjoy his creation. And he revealed to us that this is the ultimate aim and explanation as to why there is sin. What? Grace and sin? Bear with me. I'm going to show you the connection of why there is sin and why there is suffering, why there is cancer, why there are horrible automobile accidents. Why deformities? Why little bitty babies? You know the questions that are in the back of your mind. And why is there a great sufferer, Savior? Why is there a great suffering Savior? It's all connected with the other questions. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came in the flesh to do what? Hang out with us? Shoot pool with us? Go on vacations with us? Why suffering? Why did Jesus Christ come? Why is there suffering? And why is there a great suffering Savior? It all goes together. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came in the flesh to suffer and die. And by that suffering and death, to save undeserving sinners. Now, here's the real kicker. The Son of God came in the flesh to suffer and die, and that by suffering and death to save undeserving sinners like you and me. See, the grace of God, the glory of God is through the grace of God, and it is seen more brightly when you understand it, that he's come to save and to die for sinners. And those sinners are the best of people. Now, Joe over here, and so over here, and so what, and this, that, and that, we can understand this thug on the corner who's killing other people and so forth, shooting people in parking lots and in churches. You can understand. Death. But here, we're talking about people to save the undeserving sinners like you and me. Why that? Sinners don't deserve it. He came to save sinners and to show them grace. The righteous don't need none, as they say. But he came to save sinners and to have the righteous suffer. Wow. Do you understand that? I don't totally. This coming to suffer and die. Yeah, for a righteous man, for a good lady, for a good teenager. Yes. But for teenagers out there, often people, killing people, and you come to save them and to give them grace, and you're saying you are more glorified when you grace and give and serve and save sinners. Man, that's upside down. And that's some hard stuff to swallow. You mean the good don't go to heaven? They're saved by grace through faith? Let me not tell you my point was. Let's see if I can remember, because I can sometimes. Do you mind if I look and see? Suffering. Why suffering? Because suffering displays the glory of the grace of God. I'll say it again. Suffering displays the glory of the grace of God. Grace glorifies God. Because grace is for the salvation of sinners. Because the righteous don't need any, right? That's why the righteous can't make it. Because you can't make it on your righteousness. I don't care how good you think you are and how you haven't done this or that. You're going to hell. I'm going to hell if I'm depending on what I've done. It depends on faith in another. The faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not my own works. So let me go back here and read again. This coming to suffer and die is a supreme manifestation of the greatness, of the glory, of the grace of God. Read it again. The glory of the grace of God. It's about grace, not about your works or what you've done for God or what you've done or you know, I didn't do what so-and-so did. And you go bragging about it. And, you know, I kind of lift myself up. And I know I'm not like that other girl, that other guy. You're going to hell. The glory is not yours. It's the glory of the grace of God. Are you hearing me? Or as they say, do you feel me? Or to say it a little differently, the death of Christ in supreme suffering. They tortured him. They killed him. Suffering, Jesus suffered, is the highest, clearest, surest display of the glory of the grace of God there is. That's what this is about. If it is true, then a stunning truth is revealed. If what I'm saying is true, there's something that follows this. And it's stunning. The display of the glory of the grace of God. If this is true, then a stunning truth is revealed. Namely, suffering is an essential part of the created universe in which the greatness of the glory of God is revealed. And I say it again. I'll say it again if I can find out where I left off. I'm not God. God is. He can remember where he was forever and ever. To say it another way. Or to say it a little differently. Let's put it that way. The death of Christ in supreme suffering is the highest, clearest, surest display of the glory of the grace of God, because he's perfect, he's holy, he's righteous, he's all of that, and the Bible. If that is true, then the stunning truth is revealed, namely that suffering, and see, we want to get out of suffering. Suffering is an essential part of the created universe. God created the universe on purpose, and that suffering is an essential part of it, in which the righteousness of the glory of the grace of God can be most fully revealed. Most fully revealed. Suffering is the essential part of the tapestry of the universe, so that the weaving of grace can be seen. Talk about the heavens declare the glory of God. This is something greater in the universe, that the weaving of the grace can be seen for what it really is. When people see who you are, when people see the grace of God in you, that is greater than any Milky Way. When you see somebody, when people see, and you, they know that you are a good person, and there's none good but God, but they know the life you're living, and they see the suffering you go through, there's a contrast there. And that is glory that can be seen, because they know that you, they know that you're real, and God is real within you. To put it simply and starkly, the ultimate reason that suffering exists, because we want God, and I want God to heal me. I want God to heal everybody. Nobody wants to suffer or see anybody else suffer. But we realize that suffering is like a, it's like a light that goes out to the world from a person. That's why it was so important that Christ come and die, because he displayed righteousness and gave his life for unjust people. For people who would kill him. Who does that? Only God. And what impact and what glory is that? That's more glorious than someone who comes to church and give their life. You're doing right and give your life for somebody who's doing wrong. That's glory. I have much more to say. And I appreciate your patience. I'll be back next week. God willing. I got much more I want to say about why suffering. Suffering is the display of the glory of God. Suffering displays the glory of the grace of God. It is not by grace. It is taking the suffering servant, Jesus Christ, and having his enemy, the devil, to destroy him, to kill him. That ain't right, our normal nature says, but that is glorious. That is more glorious than someone who doesn't have to suffer for anything, for doing what is wrong. Here's a man who did what was right. And by the grace of God, suffered so that we could have life. We who are sinners, who are rotten. He died for us. That's why suffering. I want to finish this up next week. Please come back. I want to end with this. Father, I just pray that you take this word. And if I didn't put it right, I ask that you make it right and that you help us understand. About your holiness and being the most holy, most righteous person, being that exists. And you give your life to us, the worst that exists. That's glorious. That's your glory. And it shines the most in the grace that you've given us evil people. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for taking the innocent. You're the innocent. And the infinitely holy Son of God. In my as holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let us open the Word of God and share communion with the Savior, with all of the saints throughout the universe. In Matthew 26 and 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat. This is my body. When we partake of the bread, we take within us Jesus. We share his life. Really, he shares us. He gave bread to them, and he gives bread to us, the bread of life, which is his own body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, what you've given us, your body. Let us all receive it, knowing that we were receiving Jesus. And then, in verse 27, then he took the cup. And I've skipped my bread. I'm going to come back to it. Sometimes I forget. I get raptured in what we're talking about. I'll come back for the bread in a moment. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks. And Father, we thank you for this cup. Your blood. Thank you, my sinless Savior, for saving a wretch like me. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for this wine. Let us receive it as your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm going to now ask, Lord, your blessing on the bread. And let us be nourished and strengthened by it, both the bread and the wine. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And now let us hear the song, this communion song, entitled Grace to Grace. You can
love endured that ancient cross. How precious is my Savior's blood. Your beauty of heaven wrapped in my shame. The image of love upon death's frame. Heart was worth the pain. What joy could you see beyond the grave? If love found my soul worth dying for, how wonderful, how glorious, my Savior. Victorious, my chains are gone, my debt is paid, from death to life, and grace to
to love you.
victorious. My chains are gone. My debt is paid. From death to life, and grace to grace.